the field is set in the Wisconsin governor's race, and it's a crowded one on the Democratic side. It's Tuesday, June 2nd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a Wisconsin mother who spent 2 months in ICE custody is now speaking out. And meet the Wisconsin dance teacher, whose crew is set to compete on national television tonight.
We want to like our audience to feel like they want to be part of our team. They want to be on the dance floor with us.
Stay with us.
When so much is happening in the world, who can you count on to tell you what really happened and why it matters? Old Fashioned Reporting, weekdays on Morning Edition from NPR News.
The crowded Democratic primary for governor is still crowded after yesterday's deadline for filing nominating petitions. Anya Van Wagtendonk has the details.
8 Democrats submitted their paperwork by the filing deadline of 5 p.m. Monday to appear on the primary ballot for governor. That's compared to just 1 Republican, U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany, who's got that primary race to himself. It's almost as big a Democratic primary as the last one in 2018, when now Governor Tony Evers won with more than 40% of the vote. This time around, there's not yet a clear standout from the pack. The ballot is not finalized yet. The Elections Commission will review the submissions, and people can challenge the petitions. All told, 399 people filed paperwork to run for state office this fall, from state assembly to the U.S. Congress. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
President Donald Trump is set to visit Chippewa County later this week to tout his support for farmers. The Friday visit will be the president's first to Wisconsin of his second term. A spokesperson for the president told WisPolitics that Trump will talk about efforts to lower costs, open new trademarks, and reduce regulations. He'll also promote tax incentives for those who invest in rural areas. Part of Chippewa County is in the 3rd Congressional District, which is among the most competitive in the country. That seat is currently held by Republican Derek Van Orden in Congress. A Wisconsin mother is speaking out after spending more than 2 months in ICE custody. Evan Casey has the details.
Elvira Benita Suarez of Sheboygan Falls was released from a detention facility in Kentucky last week after being granted bond. She had been picked up by ICE agents after an immigration check-in in March. That check-in came after a judge had ruled she was eligible for a green card, a decision the federal government has appealed. The mother of 4 says it was difficult being away from her children.
It's not easy to be in there every day, seems like 1,000 years.
She has been living in the U.S. for over 3 decades.
I personally love this country. I have honor and respect and follow every single rule, and I've been living a life abiding to the laws.
Her attorney says the decision for the government's appeal on her green card could take over 18 months. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Portage Community School District is one of the latest additions to a statewide group of urban and rural districts working together on mental health support. It's a documented challenge for many K-12 students, especially for rural districts. With a $41,000 grant, Portage plans to build an in-house mental health clinic on its campus and offer affordable sessions for all students. Teresa Stolpa with the district says there's a counselor visiting regularly, but not all students can go because of insurance challenges.
We really want to be able to expand that because some parents have insurance, but their deductible is so high that they can't afford to be able to get that mental health that they need for their student.
The grant comes from the WEA Benefits Foundation. Stolpa hopes to use the money to train staff, build the clinic, and increase counselor visits. The foundation says about a quarter of Wisconsin students have a diagnosed mental health condition. Pandemic-era child care funding expires at the end of the month. As Joe Schultz reports, an advocacy group warns that could force about a quarter of Wisconsin providers to either close or reduce services.
A new report from the nonprofit Wisconsin Early Childhood Association says federal funding prevented the state's child care system from collapsing during the COVID-19 pandemic. But government funding for child care has declined in recent years. A state program giving direct payments to providers is set to end on June 30th. The report warns that nearly three-quarters of providers could raise tuition, and one-quarter are at risk of closing. Paula Drew is with the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association.
Providers have already been saying parents are indicating they can no longer afford to send their kids here, but if we don't raise tuition, we won't be able to keep our doors open.
The report warns that a lack of public investment could limit child care access to the wealthiest families. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin students could be spending more to attend state universities next year. The Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents will consider a proposal to increase in-state undergraduate tuition for next school year. They're scheduled to vote on the 2% hike at a meeting this Thursday. Together with the proposed fee increase, the total cost of attending state universities would increase by 2.5%. It would be the latest in several years of tuition hikes. That came after a tuition freeze was lifted in 2021, after nearly a decade. Even with the price increases, system leaders say Wisconsin schools remain among the most affordable public universities in the region. If approved, the proposed tuition and fees for next school year would range from about $12,400 at UW-Madison to less than $9,000 at UW-Parkside and UW-Whitewater. A Dane County judge heard arguments yesterday in a lawsuit seeking to make electronic absentee ballots available to Wisconsinites with disabilities. Disability Rights Wisconsin filed that suit on behalf of voters who cannot read or fill out paper ballots on their own. Currently, if voters want to fill out an absentee ballot in their own home, they need to rely on an assistant. Disability Rights Wisconsin argues that violates the right to a secret ballot. The group says the problem would be solved if disabled voters were able to read and fill out electronic absentee ballots using screen readers and other devices. But Assistant Wisconsin Attorney General Carla Keekhaver told Judge Everett Mitchell that that change would be costly and time-consuming to implement.
Wisconsin's absentee voting program is a paper-based system, and that's not an empty procedural requirement. It's fundamental to the security of the program.
In 2024, Mitchell ordered Wisconsin clerks to email absentee ballots to voters with certain disabilities, but an appeals court halted that ruling. Coming up, a Madison couple who owns a dance studio together will show off their moves on national TV tonight. Stay with us.
Educators can infuse American Indian Studies into their classrooms with help from WisconsinFirstNations.org. Find videos, maps, lessons, and more to support Wisconsin's Act 31 education requirement. Brought to you by PBS Wisconsin, UW-Madison School of Education, Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, tribal educators, and partners statewide. WisconsinFirstNations.org.
And finally, a Wisconsin dance teacher is stepping onto the national stage with an appearance on the 21st season of America's Got Talent. AJ Juarez grew up in Buenos Aires. He is the founder and director of Barrio Dance Studio in Madison. Juarez and his group of dancers, including his wife Nicole, were recently invited to audition for America's Got Talent with a high-energy routine set to a medley of songs by the rock band Queen. AJ and Nicole Juarez spoke with Kate Archer Kent on Wisconsin Today.
AJ, your crew performed in Chicago for a World Dance Regional event in November, and you got noticed. Take us to the moment when you were invited to audition for America's Got Talent.
Yes, it was incredible, but also a funny story. When I received the email, Rada said, yes, we saw your team and World of Dance competing. And We would love to have you for season 21 of AGT. And I was like, this must be a scam or something. Something is happening. Yeah, this is not real. Right away, I replied to that email, and all of a sudden, like 3 days, we were meeting with producers and people from AGT team. It was incredible, the feeling of like, whoa, you never know who is watching, right?
Right. And for these America's Got Talent auditions, you only have a couple minutes to impress these judges. What went into preparing for this big moment?
So something that was very helpful was that the talent scout and the producers that we spoke with from America's Got Talent really wanted us to make a version of the same piece. So a lot of times the thing that takes the most time is the first brainstorm, like what is our big idea? What kind of music are we going to dance to? What are our costumes going to look like? And what's our story we're going to tell with this dance we're going to create? So we already had that ahead of time before the America's Got Talent version of this dance. But then we knew we had to adjust it for television. So what looks good on a big stage to a live audience versus what's going to look great on camera with close-up shots. So we made some adjustments in that regard, and we had to cut down the piece from 6 minutes to about like 90 seconds, under 2 minutes.
So you had to cut your darlings.
Yes.
You had to cut some things that were deeply important to you about this dance.
Definitely. We had to cut some parts of the story. The story was based on Romeo and Juliet. And so 2 minutes is not enough time to create a beginning, a climax, and a resolution. So we just took our favorite parts. We had a really fun, exciting prop that we used that we knew we had to keep, and just our favorite songs, which was all Queen music.
Wow. What is your favorite part of dancing that routine? And, you know, you had to practice it so many times in a row.
Yeah, well, my favorite part is, I want to say the very end, and mainly because it's just the energy that the team puts in and the song. The song is just amazing, that song, and I hope everybody enjoyed the very end of the piece. You can feel the energy, and that's something that the team is actually known by, the energy that we share with our audience. People can feel it, and we really talked about that with the team. We want to like our audience to feel like they want to be part of our team. They want to be on the dance floor with us. So I hope we can really show that through the screen.
I know AJ and I, when we first talked about this idea, we felt it was ambitious because how are we going to do street styles and like social dance to 80s rock music, but we felt like the connecting thread was, one, the sense of barrio, like the energy that Freddie Mercury brings and how he brings people together is our also same goal in our studio and on our team. So we use that connecting thread to weave everything together, like how can we make this music work with our style of dance but also represent barrio and be entertaining and fun and make something that people want to watch too.
What are you most excited for people to see?
Well, first, I'm excited to see our barrio on national TV.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's big. And I'm excited to see my team on that big screen and all their family and the people that love them, see them shine there.
That was AJ and Nicole Juarez from Barrio Dance Studio in Madison. That performance is airing tonight on America's Got Talent. And of course, time for your forecast before letting you go for the day. Mostly sunny today, pretty nice. High temperatures in the 70s and 80s, just a little bit warmer than yesterday. Overnight, lows down in the 40s and 50s. It'll stay pretty clear with no rain expected. And tomorrow, looking almost exactly like today, with sunshine and highs in the 70s and 80s. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks so much for making us a part of your morning here at Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.